This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Monday morning, CliffCentral.com. We've got a busy day ahead. I hope you have too. We've got things to do. And, of course, it's winter, so everybody is dressing up. And they're dressing a little... Do you think people dress better in winter? I've noticed people do.
I think they do. Because it's more of a concerted effort. Well, you have to think about the layers.
Look,
and the
winter
jacket.
Immediately counts out flops and shorts and shitty t-shirts and that kind of thing. I think people do generally wear jackets and, you know, closed shoes. And these seem like obvious things, but in winter, they're more prevalent than they are in summer. I think it's necessary to dress a little bit better in winter.
It's 50-50. Damon Kelvari speaking.
I'm like Damon Kelvari's sartorial advice on a Monday morning is not what you came
there's
for.
The other side of the coin is that there's a focus on being warm. So in my case, I'll just put on something to keep me warm and it might not look so good.
Yeah, but that's very much a Damon Kelvari thing.
Well, it's a thing. Yeah. And lots of people are like me.
Okay.
I'm your...
A few things we want to talk about this morning.
I represent the real person.
You're the real person, huh?
Wow.
Okay.
You're every woman.
A few stories. Now, I got this this message last night. I don't know whether it's true or not, because I didn't actually go and read the story. I wasn't that interested in it, but I thought, well, we discussed him on Friday. James Small died of a heart attack, but we didn't know much of the detail, right?
They said he had a heart attack.
All right. So I sent this on to Ben, who replied immediately and said, yeah, I mean, this is quite a story. James Small collapsed naked in a sex club the night of his death.
The harem.
This was a Times Live story. And Ben said, well, he always was a team player. Which I think is a valid, you know, observation.
Haven't sex clubs become more mainstream than, say, 20 years ago?
Oh, I'm sure.
So the story isn't as big as it would have been 10, 20 years
ago.
But
I think for the family... It's still the shame.
Shame. The family, they've released press releases. Mm. Family are not commenting. They're ignoring the rumors. So, yeah.
So, according to what the report has...
They broke the stage of the story originally.
Yes, they revealed that James died at the Harem Club. This is in Bedford View in Johannesburg. And the way the venue describes themselves...
Tell me about this place.
How
come I never heard of it?
Well, it's in Bedford View, and it's less than a kilometer away from the clinic where he was taken to, Bedford View Life Clinic. I've been there. Great service.
1+1 = scandal. They describe themselves as a gentleman's club where every need is met.
It's a sex club.
Ooh.
But the thing is that here's where the story wasn't 100% clear.
Mm-hmm.
They said James was naked in the backseat of the car. Was he still alive at that stage? That's what I don't get. And another thing, if you are at the sex club and you have a heart attack, you call the paramedics. You do CPR, so they're going
to... All right, listen to this. Here it is. So he was naked in the car. We don't know whether he was alive at the time
or
not.
Well, that's the thing, yes.
But the woman told hospital staff the man in the car was a client of her club and was too heavy to put into a wheelchair and that a hospital bed was needed to be taken outside. Nurses apparently scrambled to put a blanket over to cover Small's nakedness.
Because saving his life wasn't important enough.
It is alleged that he collapsed at the Harem Club, which, according to a Facebook page, is a gentleman's club that caters for every need.
What a way to go.
It describes itself as an adult entertainment service. It's about a kilometer from the hospital, as Damon said. A scuffle ensued at the hospital.
Apparently.
After two men and a woman who brought him in first became involved in an argument amongst each other about who should sign him in. And then the security officers got involved. According to a report, one of the men known as Steve took out a firearm and the police had to intervene.
Well,
I mean, why are they scuffling? What's happening with James Small? That's what I want to know.
He's just lying there, having a heart attack.
Is he still alive? You see, they're not clear on that.
Listen to this. They then tried to unlock his cell phone to determine what had happened, with no success.
Well, he's dead. Well,
they could, however, see the three amounts of 1,000 rand each had been withdrawn from his bank account that night. A friend of his said Small himself had withdrawn the cash. Although the cause of death is said to be a heart attack, police are awaiting the results of...
A judiciary post-mortem.
Correct. Toxicology.
Toxicology. I watched those shows.
Police spokesperson Captain Mavela Masondo said that a judicial inquest had been opened into his death to try and determine if there'd been any foul
play. Shame. He's got two young children.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's very sad.
No, just a... What a shameful way to go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You know what? The guy lived large. We were talking about him. Before we knew this on Friday, we were saying he really had a good life. He lived life to the fullest. He was this brilliant Springbok, and after his Springbok career, he kind of went into the dumps a little bit. Decided he needed to make his life exciting and interesting, and he found a sex club.
The thing is, there's no scandal. He was a single man. He was divorced. He went to a sex club. It's not like he was committing infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, maybe I'm too open-minded, but I think it's become a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
I do get that, totally. But in an egotistical way for myself, I wouldn't like to go out like this.
Oh, yes.
I died.
It's undignified.
Exactly. I died in the back seat or on a hospital stretcher outside of a hospital. Naked. After being to a sex club naked while the probably two bouncers and the bartender are fighting over who's going to sign me in.
And how did you look? Were you overweight? Did you have a good, you know, you probably had a good body. Probably looked okay.
Well, he was a rugby player. Maybe once he had a good body. Maybe he wasn't too bad.
But here's another thing. Talking about mortality, that he was only 50, eh?
Yeah.
He was only 50.
No, there that's you go. Really young.
It's really young.
All right, so, I mean, is it really such a big deal? Because it didn't make the front page of the newspaper. It wasn't the biggest story online
yesterday. Well, nowadays newspapers are per se. But it was because a lot of tweets and a lot of Facebooks and a lot of comments and people going very... Because it did get a lot of traction.
Morning, guys. Great to wake up and hear Damon. How is Damon's perfume business coming along?
Perfume, it's up and down, you know?
People want like Bitcoin.
People have got to put food on their table before they smell good.
Ah.
Yeah.
P.S. Can Damon cover the sport from now on since Big Head Ben is gone? Morning, guys. It's great to wake up and hear Damon. That's from Kurs, by the way.
Oh, Kurs. Thank you. How are you doing, Kurs? Oh, okay.
My Monday morning has been made, but not by Damon Calvary, says... Natasha.
Natasha's always been like that.
She's never really liked
you. Yeah, she never liked me.
All right, there are a few other things going on. While we're talking about sex clubs and sex scandals and all the rest, Jeffrey Epstein, do you know who this is?
Yo, Jeffrey. Big financier, Trump's buddy.
Well, he wasn't Trump's buddy.
I thought he was.
You see, I don't like that in all of these reporting.
He and Trump, this is fake news. Listen to this. He and Trump were on a plane once together, according to the White House. Once. It wasn't even Epstein's plane.
Yeah, but the White House, hey? They said it.
What do you mean?
With White House, have they got credibility?
No, but you know who their big friend, who Epstein's big friend was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, Bill.
Bill Clinton. I mean, listen, Bill. I'm surprised Bill wasn't at the sex club with James Small.
The Clintons have been to Jeffrey's island and his mansion
Bill
several
is
times.
So horny.
So Trump is clean on this?
Yeah, Trump's clean on this one. Trump does not like Epstein.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
I'm impressed.
Even Chelsea Handler had been over to Jeffrey's house a couple of times for dinner.
Ugh.
So now I start to think... But let's not paint everyone with the same brush, because what if it was just an innocent dinner?
Jeffrey Epstein's this high flyer. He had lots and lots of money, private jets, islands, mansions all over the world, and he was big friends with the Clintons, with a number of very high-profile celebrities, and Prince Andrew, the Queen's son.
Well, Prince Andrew was also a bit of a, you know, fella. He married a porn star, Coos Stark. Remember Coos Stark?
He didn't marry her, dated her.
Oh, he dated her. Sorry, I take it back. No. That's in the 80s.
Was
Coos
Stark? Because that's
she was a porn actress.
I have no idea.
I wonder if it was a real name.
Coos Stark.
Remember Coos Stark?
She was a porn star, huh?
She was a porn star. Andrew,
I don't even want to Google
Andrew
her name.
Dated a porn star.
Let me have a look at Coos Stark. I wonder if she's still alive.
Can you imagine the Queen at the time? Imagine if there was Twitter and Facebook back then.
Kathleen Norris Stark, better known as Coos Stark, is an American photographer and actress, known for her relationship with Prince Andrew. She used to have solo exhibitions as a photographer, and she's a patron of the Julia Margaret Cameron Trust.
So they really cleaned up her bio because she was a porn actress.
Where do you get the porn?
No, she was she was a porn. They've cleaned up her bio, man.
Okay.
Huh, well cleaned up. I'm actually impressed.
So here's the problem. Like, if Jeff Epstein is just a guy who has an island where they have all kinds of shenanigans and wild house parties, that's fine. But the problem is.
Yeah.
that they say a lot of these girls were underage.
Underage.
Yeah, that's the
if you're under 18 years old, it's no longer kosher.
He sent roses or flowers to a schoolgirl.
Ay, ay, ay. That's not on. That's a big worry.
Yeah, he's currently accused of sexually abusing underage children and also stashing child porn.
But the biggest story was that years ago he was given a free pass. They wouldn't prosecute him. They knew about it.
Because he was friends with Bill.
Bill.
I'll deal with this. Don't you worry, Jeff.
You think Bill's going to get into trouble?
Oh, yes. Well... Oh, yes.
Huh?
Really?
Oh, yes.
And what sort of trouble?
Just you watch.
It depends how they want to investigate, whether they want to take the investigation deeper and wider or not.
What is this? Like, there's got to be a lot more pedophiles in the world than I had accounted for. Because there was another story. A girl called Brittany Zamora, who's 28, received the minimum sentence of 20 years in prison for having sex multiple times with a 13-year-old boy. She was a teacher. But she's very attractive.
But a lot of them are.
Look at this woman.
Isn't that funny?
She's very attractive.
A lot of them are attractive.
Look up if you want to Google while we're doing this. Brittany, Brittany Zamora. She's all of 28. Very attractive.
She wanted
woman.
Zamora 6.
See, I don't want
with
these.
With a 13-year-old, what's wrong with these people?
They got low self-esteem. They think this, you know, they.
I don't want these words to come back and bite me in the behind one day, but just by definition, I've heard a lot of people say that it's not sex if someone is under 18. That's rape.
You can't say
they had sex,
because,
right?
Yes. Because it's non-consensual, because you can't have...
Under 16,
you can't give consent under the age of 16.
But given that as well, when it comes to a teacher and student relationship, I'm not condoning anything, but I see how that could easily happen.
Well,
without a doubt.
Look, it's very unhealthy, obviously, and there are all kinds of problems with this. But it happens. It's
and
like
the,
incest. That occasionally happens, too.
And in the eyes of the law, I'd be a little more forgiving in a teacher-student thing.
Not sent this woman to jail 20 years.
No, you see, just if I can disagree with you for a second, what makes the crime worse is that a teacher is in a position of responsibility and power. And that can actually be a factor, that an aggravating factor.
Like the influence over the students.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
They call it duress. So if someone has some kind of hold on you, they're in authority, they've got power, they control your rent, for example, or they control your marks or whatever it is, then they can use that as a gear to force you into situations that you normally wouldn't.
But having said all of that, I'm not convinced that these 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old boys are necessarily that traumatized. If I was 14 years old and that
Brittany Zamora
and that PT teacher with the short skirt, I really would not be complaining. I would have kept confidentiality.
Thank you, Damon.
I would not have reported anything.
We're not saying abuse is right.
No, of course not.
But I'm just putting it out there.
Good point. I think a lot of people try to avoid this because they think it's...
I'm being politically incorrect.
Yes. Correct.
I'm sorry.
But the fact is, I do think there are a lot more cases that go unreported because the young men in these situations go, I hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
And what a thing at school to... The problem is the minute they start talking...
You're going to talk.
Which side?
They're going to talk.
It's usually the young... guy who talks.
That's who gloats about
it. Because he's like, I'm having sex with my teacher.
I'm having,
And then the other kids hear, and then it becomes a nightmare.
It never ends well.
Because you think about the instances of, you know, high school pupils who chat to their coaches after school. It's because you spend so much time together and you go on tour together and there's a genuine and natural friendly rapport between the two. I can say that I'm still friends, genuine friends, with school teachers.
Yeah, but didn't Sia, you had a school teacher who ended
teacher's
up...
Teacher's fit, eh?
One of Sia's teachers ended up doing porn.
Yeah. No ways!
Yes.
Male or female?
Male.
Really, hey?
Yeah.
Did he do okay? But there was a famous case, one of the very first teacher pupil sex cases, and I can't remember the names. But after the woman served time in jail, when she came out, They got married.
Wow.
Whether they're still together or not, that's another question.
See, in that case, I mean, listen, we've got to stop thinking that this is outrageous and revolting and all these things.
Well,
because historically, guys and girls got married in their early teens. Now, yes, I don't approve of this at all. But what makes it very complicated is that in the Middle Ages, you only lived to about 35 if you were lucky.
40 was the cutoff, eh?
Yeah, you were dead by 40, so...
You're out.
You had to start making them children. There's really
no
early.
There was no warfarin in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about this. You can't... You have
look,
you
got to draw a line. You got to make the law has to be there.
Yeah.
But we just give in a realistic outlook on what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it looks like they're closing in on Jeffrey Epstein. It looks like they're locking away this very hot teacher who had...
But he's out on bail, apparently, Epstein.
Yeah, so he has a hearing today to find out whether he can be fully released on bail or not.
Oh, yes.
Currently, he's actually put up his $77 million Upper East Side home and his private jet as collateral.
Yeah, but they say he's a huge flight risk. So there's a good chance he won't get bail.
Yeah, because he's got money, so he can go anywhere. Mm. And he can hide very easily.
Well, that's why he's also putting up his private jet as collateral. But that's still not...
And chances are he's got more than one passport.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, he knew they were going to come and get him eventually.
I don't know.
I think so. I think a lot of these guys, they know they're wrong. They know they're doing bad things. They know there's something...
No. They get God complexes. When you have so much money and so much power, you lose... All thoughts of reality. You think you're above everything.
You think so?
Well, it was proven. He should have been arrested a decade ago or whenever.
Gareth, when we first brought this story up a few weeks ago, it was because he had won or was in the case in the process of winning against the Virgin Island municipality, I'll say for lack of a better term, because he was building onto his island to make it more of a paradise.
It's a sex paradise.
So, I mean, if you live in that sort of world where authorities can't stop you, where you're friends with high-powered politicians and celebrities and you have so much money, I get how you have a God complex.
He's got a sex island?
Yeah, in the Virgin Islands. He was adding to it, like building underground, making these odd developments to it that just seemed like it was very obvious he was going to continue his abusive ways to it. I just find it funny that currently he's three cells down from El Chapo.
Wow.
El Chapo.
Obviously, there are a lot of these women are coming forward now to testify against Epstein. That's what's going to put the nail in the coffin, I think, is that a lot of these women are now older. Mm-hmm. But at the much younger age that they were at when they met Jeff Epstein and went to the sex island, they obviously they couldn't have given consent then. But now they're able to look back and go, it's a bit of a Me Too situation.
Oh, well, not a bit of it. It is.
No, exactly. But in this reference, it's to a particularly powerful man who has a lot of very powerful friends. And the fact that he had this island and would invite all of these friends of his there to have supposedly... sex with underage girls is pretty horrifying. And if it involves people who are well known to everybody, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Sure.
So we want the complete list of people who've been to Jeff Epstein's island.
Well, you say that now, but how quickly time flies and how our attention also changes. You know, we aren't even keeping track that much of Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey.
I just know he was in court last week.
He just changed lawyers for the third time.
How much would you need to be paid to represent Harvey Weinstein?
Damon's not a lawyer. He'd be a terrible...
No, well, I mean, these lawyers, the lawyers always have this thing. They can always say, everyone is entitled to a defense. So, I was watching a serial killer documentary last night, as I like to do, and the defense lawyer of this one serial killer said, I stayed behind the bars. I did not go in the same room as this client of mine. So, but he wasn't embarrassed to say, I was the defense lawyer. Everyone's got to have a defense.
Well, I've got the first line of defense for you. Uh-huh. How's this for a segue? What happens when your firearm license expires?
Well, you've got to go and apply for a new one.
How do you go about renewing it?
Well, first is your competency test.
Yes.
And then you get your certificate to say you're competent.
Right.
And then you go
apply
off.
Apply to the police.
Oh, I thought you go to the licensing department.
No, that's the police. You have to apply to the police for a firearm license. But on the latest Guncast episode, I asked Martin Hood questions about gun laws, the amnesty, because there's an amnesty, licensing, expiries, renewals, and a whole lot more. All you need to know resolved in one quick and easy podcast. Download the episode and all previous episodes now on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And aren't we speaking to Martin this week?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to speak to Martin because there was a big landmark case this week in firearms. Lots of people in South Africa are currently breaking the law without realizing they're breaking the law.
Because their license has expired.
Correct. And government has not been clear about what happens now.
Oh, how long, after how many years must you renew?
If you have a weapon for self-defense, 5 years. If you have a weapon for sport, 10.
Oh, and if you're a security guard?
Well, this is the problem, right? A lot of these people's firearm licenses have expired, and the police aren't good at processing.
Well, there's so much to do.
Correct.
Do you still carry? Do you still go shooting?
I don't carry, but I've got a gun.
Yes. Do you go shooting?
Yes, I do.
But like regularly?
No, not regularly enough.
When last were you there?
About 8 months ago.
Okay. Does it give you a rush?
No.
Sense of
Can you not even point your gun finger?
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
Clay pigeon shooting. It's very.
Oh, not targets, eh?
No, it's clay pigeons. It's very relaxed. It's a fun way to spend the day. It's something I like to do with my brother and my dad. It's very.
But the thing is, you must shoot regularly, because if your rounds of ammunition sit for too long, the gunpowder like coagulates.
Yes.
And so you got to shoot regularly or get rid of your bullets. Or
correct.
You got to get fresh
There's
ones.
There's a shooting range down the road from me, which is I've just got to go there.
Can I tell you about my shooting experience very briefly?
Okay.
That I never told you about this.
No.
I was in the army, Wehrmacht, and we were given 5 rounds, which is a fancy word for bullets. 5 rounds, 100 meters, doof 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 doof. Right? We run to our target. My target's got one hole. And the guy next to me's got 9 holes.
So you.
I shot his dog.
Oh.
All right. So if you are relying on Damon Calvary to defend you in a dangerous situation, don't.
Damon, sure. You have no interest in owning a gun.
No, I'm nervous. I'm scared. Because I'm careless. I'm clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll end up shooting myself by mistake. I'll shoot myself in the foot.
All right, Jared wants to correct us. He said most people did live to be a lot older than 40 in the Middle Ages. It's
Jared.
A common misconception to think that we're living longer. It was the child mortality rate that was very, very high.
Okay.
If you were able to live to 10, chances are you would live to see all the horrors of the times.
And you lived until when then, Jared?
Well, look, a lot of people did die younger because of medicine not being
what it
is now. But he makes a good point that actually it wasn't about life expectancy. You just had to make it through childhood and then you'd be okay. That was the tough part. Especially if you had a neighbor like Jeff Epstein in a mud hut next to you, you know. Middle Ages, not a very fun time. A couple of other comments. This is a good one. Don't you think Marcus Uster is also a flight risk, says Pietrus? Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
I think that's why they have actually...
Have they given him an ankle bracelet, maybe?
It bails very high, as I understand.
No ankle bracelet?
No.
Hey, money equals means. You can make things happen.
My boyfriend says... let me just see who this is. Hang on a second.
My boyfriend.
This is Candace. She says, my boyfriend went to a very popular, expensive boys' school in the 1990s, and he said that this happened all the time with... Guys sleeping with their teachers.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
16 is better. Regards Ruthie. What she means is, don't think any kid is going to feel fully happy about having these kinds of relations with teachers at the age of 13, but 16 is better.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruth.
So.
Well, you know, Ruth. Ruth, there are laws. This is all we have to say.
Wait, Ruth is saying she doesn't think any kid would fully...
Ruth approves of 16. She says 16, not a big deal.
But 13, she has a problem.
But she has, yeah, exactly. And look, I tend to agree with her. I think Ruth is on the. Yeah, I think Ruth is correct.
Ruth, I disagree with you.
Well, what? You disagree?
No, there are some. I swear by it.
Uh huh.
If you put up a 13-year-old and said, "Home, look, here's your hot teacher. Would you want?"
Yeah.
a moment with them, and they'd probably say yes.
Oh my lord!
Do you remember the Zuma Must Fall grannies? Remember, we even had them here in the studio.
Oh,
the Zuma Must Fall grannies are those ones.
Did they have their placards?
Yes, they had their placards.
They sang on the side of the highway.
Everything else. Now,
they got that chance going.
The former president has been on social media.
He's appearing today.
Correct. Now he's got President J.G. Zuma as his Twitter account, and he actually put up a video of himself very nicely dressed. He's wearing a white collared shirt and a blue suit, and here he is doing his own version of Zuma Must Fall, which is hilarious. So take a listen. There's that laugh.
Zuma must fall. Zuma must fall. Zuma must fall. Zuma must fall. Zuma.
He thinks it's hilarious.
But this is a man who ran our country. Hello.
But he's having a good time.
I followed that Twitter of his handle for 2 days, and I unfollowed it. But then you get these people who will retweet, so you still see it.
Why did you unfollow?
Boring as all hell.
Well, he's got 307,000 followers. Not that many. That's good.
Considering his status and his, you know, his popularity, I would have expected more.
I just find it a little cringeworthy. You know, especially I think
well, that was cringe.
What?
But that video of him dancing, saying Zuma must fall.
I just think all of it, former President Thabo Mbeki just celebrated his birthday and is building a library. You know, you see former presidents the world over.
Yeah, they try to be dignified.
Dignified is the key word this morning.
Do great things, and then we have, Ubaba.
No. Ubaba's
singing.
It's shameful. It's embarrassing. Really.
And then he's got videos of him and Duduzane, like, play boxing and...
What, outside court?
No, in their house. I think it's in Nkandla.
You see, Duduzane got off, eh? He was acquitted.
Oh, well, do you want to hear more about Duduzane?
Yes.
This happened after our show on Friday.
Yeah, culpable homicide, acquitted. Couldn't control the car.
Right, here it is. Just take a listen to this.
In exhibit O, doesn't support...
There's a very inarticulate judge, by the way. He really struggled with this. Take a listen.
The conclusion contained in Exhibit O doesn't support drawing of a negative inference on the part of Mr. Zuma, and indeed Mr. Dlamini, who also drove at the same speed. The court can return to the four instances that the state indicated was relying on as instance of negligence in response to a request for further particulars in terms of Section 87. In doing so, the question is.
Anyway, look, I mean, this is horrible to listen to. Basically, this judge, who's really, he's having a tough time with
look, he wasn't that terrible.
Because you sound like this.
Well, there you go. Look, he didn't know that you were going to, like, you know, criticize and examine him this morning. Yeah. Maybe if he knew.
He has a tough time, this judge. He decided not guilty.
Couldn't have just...
Duduzane Zuma is not guilty of killing that person. In the traffic in his Porsche when he went into a taxi. So there we go.
Look, the thing is, if he wasn't Jacob Zuma's son, would that even have been a court case? You know?
Well, you've got to be careful. Driving and going at speed, if you kill someone, there's a supposition that even if you didn't have intent to kill them, that you could be guilty.
Culpable homicide, okay.
So you got to be careful of this.
But it was quite a media circus. It was quite a thing.
But I was surprised to see the former president there this time.
No, well, it's his father. It's the day of sentencing. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that's interested me about this and which I find quite reassuring, if I were in the Zuma family, I would think, well, this is a father who loves his son. He's been there to support him. Which is something we don't see a lot of in South Africa. So you can criticize Jacob Zuma for a lot of things, and we already have this morning. And, you know, his sense of humor is probably not really in keeping with the dignity of an office of president. But the guy seems to be a father of substance. He was at his daughter's university graduation the other day. He's taking an active interest in...
Look, he does have time, eh?
Sure. I mean, he's not president anymore, but... For all the things you're going to criticize him for, I don't think being a bad father needs to be near the top of the list.
But there's
also to be supportive of his kids.
A side of me that thinks this is part of his manipulating the public.
Maybe. Maybe.
He's, you know, get onto Twitter and make us laugh a bit. He's trying to, you know, I think it's the sideshow.
What is...
taking our eyes away from what's important.
What is Jacob Zuma going to say at the commission today?
That's going to be exciting.
Is he, you think he's going to hold back? Will he be open?
Well...
thing is, he's so long-winded. Takes so long for him to get to the point.
Yes, but people have been saying for the longest time that Jacob Zuma has got all the secrets, right? He knows all. He knows everybody's stories.
You think it'll all come out?
I think there are going to be a few people who'd be very nervous about what he says today.
I'm worried about an anti-climax. I'm worried that he's going to just...
really?
I'm worried that he's going to have all this foreplay and all this long-winded stuff. and not deal with the meat. That's what I'm worried about.
I don't think he'd put up much of a show. And he'd rather be more quiet and not reveal much.
I think they're going to have to... it's going to be like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Moses and the staff and on the rock and trying to get the water out the rock, or the blood out the rock, whatever the expression is.
Yeah, because once you brought in Moses, you lost me.
Yeah, you know, sorry about that. No, sorry, Moshe.
Yeah. All right. But what else is going on? What else do you want to talk about this morning? There's so much...
Daryl MP.
Okay, you want to talk about Daryl
MP. Well,
Indy.
I mean, there isn't much to say.
Okay, so Tour de France is the biggest cycling event.
Who can sit and watch Tour de France constantly, nonstop? It's impossible. Who's got the time?
Well,
who's got the patience?
I do think it's a beautiful thing to watch.
It's nice just to see the results.
But they film it so beautifully.
Oh, the scenery! Those castles! It's beautiful.
The forest, the mountains. Oh, it is magnificent.
So Daryl MP won a stage. That is huge.
Okay.
That is a big story. Well done, Daryl.
Do you know what stage?
I think stage 8 or stage 9. I can't remember.
Stage 9.
No, it's amazing.
So among all the other sport that you could have watched yesterday, this is another one that you could have...
Who could have watched every sports event yesterday? It's impossible.
No, you'd need to have recorded stuff and taken the day off today.
Bernice was very excited. She was watching Grand Prix. There was an exciting crash between Vettel and... I can't remember the other guy's name. They had a bit of a crash. I used to watch Grand Prix in the 80s, because in the 80s they didn't have all these safety measures, and there was like horrible, terrible crashes often. But
was the thrill for
but
you.
I was a child. But in recent years, you know, it's safer, so it's not as exciting.
The famous crash of all crashes, Ayrton Senna.
No. Yes, I suppose in more recent times.
Yeah.
But in the 70s and the 80s,
There
were one or two crashes where the actual Formula One car went into the crowd. Terrible stuff.
And flames.
Oh, my God. Niki Lauda, remember him? Oh. They had to put him back together again.
And he died this year.
He died quite recently. He didn't have an ear left on the one side. He looked like a real Formula One driver. I mean, Kurbis Visser had better ears than him.
Now, before anybody gets all uptight about this and starts complaining, because people will say that you know this is outrageous. Because people.
Oh, sorry.
You know,
sorry.
Outrage.
That's outrage. But also, you must remember, BCCSA, Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, is passé. But there's other commissions.
No, I'm not.
Human Rights Commission, gender equality.
Hey, calm down. What I'm getting at.
Okay, sorry.
God, you're a live wire today.
Sorry.
Since you've had your embolism, come back to life.
Well, I nearly died.
So, the point is, people might get upset listening to you saying this.
Think
it's very insensitive. But
sorry.
The fact is, a lot of people don't admit this, but that's the reason that they watch Formula One. Or even cycling. They like to see an accident. That's why people slow down on the highway.
We're just being honest.
Well, isn't that the thrill of boxing as well?
It's just
carnal.
Sometimes
beat
the guy
gets
hit too hard and
some guy,
brain gets rattled around in its head and then doesn't make it out.
Yeah.
Not everybody makes it out.
Well, that's why this cage fighting, this EFC, is very popular.
Yeah.
Because there are
real stakes.
I mean, there's blood. I mean, they have to clean the cage afterwards.
I don't know what thrill people get out of something like that.
People like it, Sia. It's not your cup of tea.
No.
People like this. You would rather have an actual cup of tea than watch this.
Yes.
All right. So that's the sports stuff I think we've covered this morning. And yes, if people are wondering, Ben did his last show with us on Friday. Somebody's just sent this message in. This is very good. Ash says, just tuned in. Is that a Damon Calvari voice I hear? Nice to hear. Damon, but I do miss the muffled Damon with the cup on the mic.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, Ash, that is Damon Calvary. He's come to join us this morning. Damon had a bit of a health scare a little while ago.
Lung clots.
He was in hospital. We thought we were going to lose him. So we thought better get him in while he's in good health.
Exactly. You never know. Could have a relapse. Damon. And then you think, oh, we missed him as a guest. See, I don't let that ever happen again.
Don't put that on your own life.
Damon was telling me about this guy who made an appointment with the doctor.
57-year-old man, difficulty breathing, a little bit of chest pain for about a year. His wife nagged him, go to the doctor. Mm. Eventually, he makes an appointment to see the doctor. The pulmonologist, which is a fancy word for...
specialist lung doctor.
Lung, yeah, exactly. Makes an appointment for 3 weeks' time. Mm. Well, he dropped dead before the appointment. Mm-hmm. So when you, if you're a receptionist at a cardiologist or a pulmonologist, if someone phones to make an appointment, you know, take a little bit of time to ask one or two questions. Maybe you need to go straight to hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I find that it's probably really irresponsible of this guy to have made the appointment and then not pitched. Someone else could have got that appointment.
That's the other side of it, yes.
Because he planned to die, right?
No, but seriously. Oh. No, seriously. If you don't learn anything this morning, if you've got chest pain, difficulty breathing, go straight to hospital or call a paramedic. Don't make an appointment for 3 weeks' time with your specialist.
See, this is why I don't feel crazy for being a hypochondriac.
Well, you know what? No. You're a different story. Nope. What are you? You're not even 30. Nope. You're not even 30.
Damon, I'm 24.
Exactly. I mean, what chances are there of you having some serious thing?
You never know. You never know.
Have you so been when you keeping arri- track so of... So when you arrive at casualty, do they all know you by first name?
No.
Okay, you know, you probably got 5 different hospitals that you go to because you're a bit embarrassed and you know that you don't want people to get to know
no,
you.
No, I'm not embarrassed at all.
When you arrive, is there like a thick file? They got like a thick file on you. Hey,
Damon, here's a comment from Cindy. You know Cindy's been a super fan of ours from day
okay,
one.
Okay, Cindy.
She said, did you mention how well South Africa did in the Netball World Cup?
Ooh, we forgot about that. Sorry, Cindy, yes.
Are we all together?
I think they beat Jamaica. Yeah.
It happened last night while they're doing so well. And hey, Damon, it's great to hear your voice again. Hashtag oh.
Oh, that's sweet. I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
You know, a lot of men, and maybe lesbians, they watch women's tennis because of the sexual appeal.
Yeah,
women's netball. You want to watch, but the camera is always a long shot. You don't see anything.
Oh, really?
So if you're thinking like me, don't bother. Unless you're really just into women's netball. Yeah, I just put that out there.
Did you watch and get disappointed?
Yeah. Just...
Yeah. I do remember, like, netball at school, the netball girls, that they were worth watching.
No, I never did because I was embarrassed. I thought they would know why I'm really watching.
No,
I'm not really into netball.
I'd find an excuse to go.
You would, like, carry, would you give them water at halftime?
No, I didn't.
With those oranges.
I wasn't that involved.
Oh, you weren't that involved.
But I would take the opportunity to walk past there rather than past.
Oi, maybe too much honesty this morning, hey? Mm,
maybe sure. We're going to be in trouble.
Maybe hide this recording from Bernice, the wife, hey?
Maybe a little me too-ish.
Yeah, I don't... Maybe
How's Bernice? How's she doing?
Bernice very well. She was at this job for 18 years.
Yes.
And after disciplinary hearings and suspensions and this and that. Anyway, she got a healthy payout. Well done, Mazel Tov. And now she's like a consultant. You know these consultants? You ask her, what do you do? I'm a consultant. So now she's a consultant. Well, that's the thing. You don't know. Mm. Just sounds important. So that's what she had a good month. It's looking good potential.
That's good news.
Started another business. So we got the perfume. But then we're also doing photo books for nursery schools. That's a good one.
Wait, how did you land up with that idea?
We've been doing it for years, but only on a very, very small scale. But now we want to go big. Because, you see, schools, primary schools, high schools, have end-of-year magazines. Mm-hmm. But nursery schools, they don't.
Okay.
So you do it for them.
You found a... You
Hope
found
I'm
a,
not giving... A, oh, now I'm
a gap in the market. Now someone's going to steal this from under you.
Well, look me up and order photo books if you have a nursery school.
But then, doesn't this mean that you guys are spending more time together?
Well, we work from home, yes.
Is that a good, bad thing?
No, it's fine because we work in. I'm busy on the phone all the time. It's fine. We don't get into each other's hair.
Mm.
So it's fine. It's working fine. And we've got one or two other people in the office, and they drink and smoke, and it's also like a buffer. So it's fine. You always sometimes you need a buffer.
Yes.
If you ever are you in a relationship, Sia?
I actually went on a bizarre date this weekend.
And really?
This is interesting.
And? How long did it last? That's the first question.
A little over 2 hours.
That's good. That's a good first date.
No, there won't be a follow-up.
Some people do 4 hours. You know that.
You're not interested?
No.
Oh, really?
See, but I love the dating process. I love...
It's like a job interview.
No, it's just interesting to pick the brain of someone. And also, you know, you're trying to see the best in a person. I hate to sound so philosophical it's nice.
Okay, okay. So you're going to get back on the saddle, back on the horse?
Okay.
Are we talking Grindr, Twitter? Sorry, Tinder. What are we talking?
I have like probably...
Instagram?
Yeah, I have like 3 people on my radar. Right?
No, what I mean is I'm talking about the avenues. What is
social
the...
Social circles.
Oh, so you don't go the social media, Tinder, whatever, all those different avenues. Okay.
One of my friends, I was at a dinner and he brought a Tinder date.
But like first time Tinder.
Yeah. Did he admit it?
No, because he told us. He didn't tell
you. But it is strange that this is the first time he's meeting her and he brings her. That is a bit strange, don't you think?
Well, I thought it was a bit odd, but it worked out well. She was a nice girl and they got along well and they left together.
But having said all that, I forgot how it works. You do a lot of WhatsApping and conversation before you actually meet.
Yes.
So you actually, when you do meet the first time, it's actually not such a mystery.
It's not the first time.
You already know them quite well.
But that's also a new feature. I think Tinder either is in the process of instituting or already has.
Uh-huh.
It's group dating. So uh-huh. if 3 of your friends are on Tinder, somehow you can link your accounts together to go on a group date with 3 other prospective people. Yeah. So it eases the pressure of
or just turn into a big orgy and you land up on the back seat of a car.
Well, you know, there are good and bad case scenarios here.
Sure. But it's become so mainstream, hey?
What?
This whole Tinder
I
mean, when I first heard of
people don't just meet for they don't meet at clubs and bars anymore. That nobody does that.
But I still think there's still some stigma around admitting to people how you met.
Yes, but
it's
just changing all the time. When Tinder first came out, you thought, naughty. It's not they're naughty anymore.
No.
Huh?
Maybe I should go and check, because I opened up a Tinder. I don't even have
uh-huh.
an app on my
real
phone.
Photo, real name?
Yeah, but it was more to just know what it was. But clever. I've never actually checked it out.
It was research.
No, I'm not going to go.
It's research.
Nothing I want there.
You don't want a bit of research?
No.
Huh?
No, I just... I flirted with the idea because I wanted to see what people were talking
about. Definitely.
Right, and I wanted to know what it was. I never put any info on there. I never made any effort. I wasn't that interested in whether I got a response or not. But uh-huh. I think a lot of people are on there all the time.
Uh-huh.
People are trying to hook up, you know? People want company in their lives.
All those lonely people.
Yes, exactly.
Where do
they all come from?
That's the Beatles.
No. By the way, Paul McCartney.
Do you know that song?
Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr ended up together at a
no ways.
A Beatles movie premiere the other day.
Oh, wow.
First time in ages.
Yesterday.
And they went on to stage together
mm-hmm.
The past couple of days.
Did they actually do anything on the stage?
Ringo.
They were wheeled out.
No, they look in amazing health. I think Ringo just turn 80, I think? I could be very wrong, but I think he just had a big birthday. They look amazing.
Peace and love.
Like, they look amazing.
Yeah, he's 79 years old.
Oh, is he 79? Sorry.
I'm already certain he dyed his hair.
It might have been McCarthy then who turned 80. Somebody who turned 80.
McCartney is 77.
Okay, I take it back. But they look fantastic, these guys. They look amazing.
I like the premise of the new movie based on the Beatles.
What? I want to definitely see that movie. Yesterday, it's called.
It really sounds
such a clever idea. Yeah. So clever.
Long story short, the main character in the movie has an accident and bumps his head somehow when he wakes up. He lives in a world where the Beatles doesn't exist.
He's the only person in the world who knows the Beatles.
Yeah. So he starts...
Oh, it's terrible.
He sings a Beatles song and like his friends go, that's so amazing. What is that? And he's surprised. He goes, no, those are the Beatles.
Wow, I'd cash in.
And he
does.
Well,
that's exactly what he does. He becomes the biggest star in the world. And then there's a little scene in the trailer where Ed Sheeran's in the movie, because, of course, Ed Sheeran has to, you know. Game of Thrones wasn't enough for Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran says, can I just make a suggestion? Instead of hey, Jude, hey, dude. Hey, dude is much better.
But he makes a killing, right?
He makes a killing. I don't know how the movie ends, so let's not do a spoiler or whatever.
But I do want to watch it.
Looks like a really cool... I never saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, you missed out. Good movie.
You know what? I don't... People don't go to movies that much, eh? Because we got your Netflix, you got your Hulu.
Kaylin saying, who's that noisy son of a bitch in the studio? Oh, sorry, is that Kaylin. Damon?
Sorry, Kaylin.
How long is Damon staying? Why the hell did Ben have to leave?
Five more minutes.
Imagine Damon and Gord in the same studio as Mr. Schmangel.
No, well, you'll always avoid that, obviously.
Damon, will you be able to survive a sex club?
You know what? It's difficult. I think you have to apologize to the whole room instead of just one person.
Oh!
It'll be very awkward. Very awkward.
That's from Anushka.
What I'd have to do is like hang around and just like check it out for quite a long time.
Mm.
And because, you know, if you get into it straight away, then you want to go home already.
You think, it'd be too
but
much.
But you know what?
Soon.
But in all seriousness, I think to go to a sex club, you need really good body image. I think you really got to be very confident.
Mm-hmm.
I once went to a sex club purely for research purposes, and everybody had good bodies. Everybody, especially the woman. The women were A+. 8.5 out of 10.
This is before you were married.
Was I married? Well, it was research. I didn't take part in anything.
Oh.
I was a journalist.
Oh.
I got sound bites for your 5FM show.
I say don't the send men, it to Bernice.
The men... No, Bernice knows about it. Okay. The men, they also were pretty decent. There was no Azamats. Put it that way. There were no Azamats. Azamat Bogatov. Remember him from Borat?
Do you know, I watched it. It's so funny you bring up Azamat. And this is totally unrelated. But the other day I was on YouTube. You know how you lie in bed before you go to sleep at night?
Uh-huh.
You're on YouTube and you get sucked into this rabbit hole of...
Yeah, but also YouTube know what you like.
Yes, but you find a video and then the next thing it suggests another video. And you end up watching like 8 videos.
Yes.
So one of the videos that came up was that scene with Azamat and Borat.
Where they're naked at 8.
Yeah.
Naked.
Yes, correct. But an interview, which I hadn't seen before.
Uh-huh.
Where Azamat and Borat were both on a TV show together, being interviewed as Azamat and Borat.
Uh-huh.
And Azamat just stands there and goes... That Borat is a work of genius. That honestly,
oh, yeah.
Such a clever character.
Yeah. Fantastic.
What's his name again? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Baron Cohen.
Very clever man.
Very, excellent.
And look at that, we're out of time.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
So with podcasts, you can't just, you know, go on forever, eh?
We could, but I don't want to...
There are rules.
I don't want to mess with people's day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. All right, but thanks for coming to visit us, Damon. It's always good.
Oh, it was very nice. Thank you very much.
And,
Thank you.
I'm glad you're in good health again.
Well, it's a process. I've got to go on the warfarin. It's a process.
But you're not dead, is the point.
Well, the thing is, when I haven't started exercising yet.
Dory told me. She said you were in hospital. I thought, uh-oh, better prepare.
A WhatsApp would have killed you, hey?
I'm not that kind of guy.
It would have killed you, hey?
No.
I mean, a voice note would have killed you.
All right. I'll remember that for next time.
I'm not... The thing is, the secret is to start... Once I start exercising, then I'll know my situation. Haven't exercised yet.
Mm. Right. What do they call you? Highly likely, highly clottable?
No, they actually didn't. They just called me Mr. Calvary, actually. They didn't really give it a thing.
An acronym.
Okay.
Well, the pulmonologist admitted. He said, I don't know how this happens. We don't know how this happens, he says.
High clotting factor.
And then he finds a clot in my leg, so then he did know how it happened.
Mm.
But anyway.
Okay.
Very glad you're alive. Very glad you made it through this ordeal.
One last point. Thank God for medical aid.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in South Africa and you don't have medical aid,
you're dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Very
now the government wants to introduce this NHI. I hope
disaster.
It works.
No, but
I hope it works.
Look how they run Eskom and SAA. You can't let them Eskom medical aid.
If they were clever, they'd bring Adrian Gore into the office and they'd have a little session with him.
They don't have enough money and he doesn't want to work for government.
No, but Consult. He's not going to be a consultant.
Never.
Right?
Not going to happen.
Okay. No. Sorry. Anyone? No, that's it, eh?
All right, so Damon is still on social media, and you know what? Who knows? This has been fun. Maybe we do this again.
Well, you know, yeah. I would love it.
Keep an open mind.
You got to keep an open mind.
Sure.
Love it.
All right, thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 8 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Got Auto Traders, Auto Central show today.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming on a little bit later on, and plenty of other good stuff. Don't miss Guncast. And, of course, there's a big climax, a final for Guncast. We will have a debate, a live in-studio debate. A mass debate about gun ownership. You better hang on for that. That's going to be very good. Excited about it. Right, Damon?
Exactly.
Who doesn't like a good mass debate?
This is CliffCentral.com.